All right. It's good to see everyone. We have visitors with us tonight over here. Ray, you want to introduce your visitors there? Maddox. Yeah, he's adorable. I saw him out in the hallway. That's for sure. Well, we're glad to have you folks with us tonight. God bless you. And thank you for being here. All right, we have been studying the Shekinah glory, which is the essence of God. When you see the word Lord in your Bible with a capital, all capital letters, that is speaking of Jehovah God. And so our God is the God of heaven, and he is Jehovah, and he is one God. All right. Now the thing that the Muslims chant and rant and carry on about is the fact that the Bible says, and Christianity says, we believe what the Bible says, but the Bible says that God is three yet one. All right, he's three. And that's where the Muslims just have a fit, because they do not understand that Jesus is God in the flesh. They think Jesus is just a prophet. All right, and then they do not understand that the Holy Spirit was sent by the Lord Jesus. When he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit back to be our comforter and to convict the world of sin and of judgment. And so they get all distraught over that truth, and they say that we are false worshipers because their God is one, all right, and he's a false god at that. But nonetheless, that's what is the argument and the battle that's going on over there between Muslims, Judaism, and Christianity. And it is a spiritual battle as well as a physical earthly battle. If the radical Islamist had their way, there would not be a Jew on the planet. If they had their way. And if you think I'm joking about that, you just listen to what they have to say. You want to hear some stuff that'll blow you away? Speeches by what's her name? Ilhan Omar or whatever her name is, huh? Is that right? Okay. Well, just Google speeches by that woman and listen to the hatred. Listen to the hatred. And that's right here in America. All right. That's she's not going over to Damascus to say these things. She's saying them right here in America, which is just absolutely despicable. But nonetheless, they let it go on. And until one of that squad bunch got dethroned today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She got sent her papers. And boy, you talk about a radical mercy. But anyway, that's what's going on around the world. Now, folks, we need to be praying for our friend, our missionary and our friend, Milad Khalid in Beirut. Yesterday, they had this huge rally. They had a huge rally in Beirut. Now, this rally was held at a soccer stadium, at a bigger soccer stadium, and there were thousands upon thousands of people there. And the leader of Hezbollah, his name is Nasrallah, all right? Nasrallah. Well, he came out of hiding. He crawled out from a hole somewhere and was being ushered up to the platform to rant and rave against and threaten against Israel. And about the time he got out there on the by the podium to speak, a bunch of Israeli jets flew over at about 4,000 feet, all at the same time completely synchronized, and they timed it so that they all four broke the sound barrier at the same time right over that stadium. Hello. You say, well, what happened? Well, needless to say, there wasn't anybody in that stadium in about 2 minutes flat, all right? Just scared the daylights out of everybody. And so, folks, this thing's serious, all right? This thing is going on over there, and of course, they're wagging the dog, saying, oh, no, don't look at that. Look at this over here, and trying to tell us that these radicals that are running for office on the left are wonderful people, and I want to serve notice on you. They are anything but. There's nobody here but us girls. So let me tell you something that this guy did. He signed a bill to put tampon machines in the boys' rooms, in the boys' restrooms. Unbelievable. Oh, I'm sure they're breaking their necks to get them. I'm just sure they are. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, folks, this world has gone crazy. The left has gone nuts. Nuts. And so what we need to do is just get the word out, and I think the word will get itself out, especially if they agree to a debate. I understand now that Kamala doesn't want to debate. Go figure. But we'll see. And then another thing, I'll just go ahead and tell you this. You know, Iran is over there, the Ayatollah, and he's over there running his mouth against Israel, and he's threatening to bomb the daylights out of Israel. Well, here's the problem with that. They can't get bombs through that Iron Dome, all right? One will land here, one will land there. Sometimes one will get through, but most of the time they knock every one of them out of the air. Now here's another interesting thing. They were able to use drones over the weekend. Israel was able to use drones to shoot these ballistic missiles out of the air. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely phenomenal. And so Iran is, from what I was able to learn today, Iran is barking, but they're being told by several leaders in the Middle East to calm down, because they're going to push one too many buttons, and it's not going to be pretty for them. Now, Iran has been told that if they bomb Israel and and start, you know, this all-out invasion, that they're going to have to deal with Great Britain, and they're going to have to deal with the United States of America. And I can tell you right now, they don't want to do that. All right? They don't want to do that because they wouldn't stand a chance against America. We wouldn't even need Great Britain. But if Great Britain wants to help out, they're more than welcome, I would say. But nonetheless, everything's happening where it's supposed to happen, folks. Everything's happening where it's supposed to happen. And I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do know that we're on rapture watch. All right? I believe it's close. I believe it's close. So when you see all these things come to pass, wars, rumors of wars, when you see famines and droughts and you know, downpours that never stop, you know, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. All right? So let's not get down and discouraged. Let's get up and excited because Jesus is coming again. All right, let me pick up where we left off last week. We were talking about the second coming of Christ, and I showed you how there are three different approaches that that folks have taken towards the second coming of Christ. There are those in the delay camp, and they'll say, well, we don't, you know, we think the Lord's going to come back mid-tribulation period. No, the Bible's very clear on that. It's pre-tribulation, a pre-tribulation rapture. All right, so don't get hooked in with some of that foolishness that is being profligated today all across America, because that's one of the devil's tricks, to try and delay the coming of our Savior. And don't fall for it. All right, then the second thing is to deny. There are those who would deny the fact that Jesus is coming again. You know, these are the ones that say, well, you know, we've heard you fundamentalists say that that Jesus is coming again, and you it didn't make any difference what generation it is. All of you have said through the centuries that Jesus is coming back soon, and he hasn't come back, and so they deny that Jesus is coming again. Well, again, that's exactly where Satan would have men to be, to deny so that they're not ready when the Lord returns. And then, of course, there is the group that says that they debunk and debauch and do all they can to try to explain away this vital and fundamental Bible doctrine. Now, I told you last week as we were finishing up, I said that for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at several things connected to our Lord's return. Now, let me just review for a moment, make sure you understand. There is the next prophetic event to happen is the rapture of the church. That's the next thing that's on God's calendar, is the rapture of the church. And that is where the Lord Jesus comes out of heaven, steps upon the clouds, the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, then those of us who are alive and remain are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, do you know what that 18th verse of 1 Thessalonians 4 says? It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, it ought to be comforting to us. Man, I don't know about you, but I've about had all the fun down here I want to have, haven't you? I mean, you know, let's get this ball rolling, and let's have the Lord come back and take us all to heaven and get everything up and running and fulfilled as the scriptures have already told us it's going to happen. So what I want us to look at, we see this rapture. Then there is the ruin period, the 7 years of tribulation. And then at the end of that tribulation, there is the return. Now that return is where all of us and all the redeemed through the ages, that's through Old Testament, New Testament, all right, all the redeemed are going to come back with the Lord Jesus to this earth, all right? He's going to come and set foot down upon the Mount of Olives, and he's going to then walk into Jerusalem, and he is going to sit upon the throne of David where he belongs as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, that's our Savior, that's the Lord, and that's what's coming. Now, here's the point that I want to give you over the next couple of weeks. All right? Let's notice the must of Christ's return to the earth. Folks, it is a must that the Savior comes back. He has to come back, or the Bible is a lie. He has to come back. You know why? Because he said he was coming back. And let me remind you that Titus 1:3 says, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. If he says he's coming, he has to come back. So that is the must of Christ's return to this earth. Would you be shocked if I told you that it is a must for the Lord Jesus to come again? Well, you shouldn't be, because all through this Bible, going all the way back to the beginning when Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden and became a sinner, God said that he was going to send a Redeemer. He was going to send an enmity, an enemy who would stand between the devil and mankind. And that enmity is none other than his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen very carefully to this. We are today and have been for the last 2,000 years living in the day or the age of the church, the day of the church. Let me say it this way. We have been living in the day of grace, God's grace, okay? Since the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven in Acts chapter 1, we have been living in the church age. For the last 2,000 years, we have been living in the age of grace, where the church, God has chosen to use the church that he established, that he founded, where the church has had the commission to take the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus to take the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, folks, this is why we have soul winning programs. This is why we teach people to be soul winners. This is why we have a bus ministry. Okay? We are reaching in that bus ministry section of our community that is overlooked so many times, and that is the children, the young children. And we run a bus, knock on their doors and say, hey, would little Susie and Johnny want to go to Sunday school? Well, we come by here every Sunday morning with a bus, send them out the door, and we'll take care of them, and we'll get them to church. And that's what we do, and they hear the gospel. So thank God for the bus ministry. This is why we support missions around the world. All right? We support missions all around the world. Why? Because we are fulfilling the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus gave to the church that he established. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So for the last 2,000 years, we have been living in this age of the church, or this age of grace. So the second coming is shown in Scripture as an absolute necessity to the completion of God's, of Christ's divine program. You see, folks, you can't say, oh, well, we're exempt from that Great Commission. No, nobody is exempt from it. I've had folks, preachers, that have tried to argue with me about Calvinism, and they'll say, well, we're Calvinists, we don't have to win souls. No, you're a moron is what you are. You're a biblical moron. All right, you think you know everything, but the truth of the matter is you don't know the basic things about the Word of God, and shame on you for not knowing that. I've never met an unelected Calvinist, have you? Selah, think about it. Uh-huh, you got that, didn't you, Martha? Bless your heart. Yeah. And again, I'll say it again, you don't become a Calvinist by reading this. All right? You become a Calvinist by reading Calvin, or books written by his blind followers about Calvin. You know? And folks, I've told you many, many times through the years, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. You really can. You know, preacher comes in and says, I'm going to preach on what God gives me. And he opens a book and puts his finger down, and it says, and the Bible says that we are to give $1 million to the building fund. What? Well, that's what my Bible says. Well, what kind of Bible do you have? Well, I don't have that in my Bible. But that's the way everybody is, all right? This is God's will for my life. Judas went out and hung himself. Oh, nope. Go thou and do likewise. Nope. What thou doest, do quickly. You can make your Bible say anything you want it to say. You see what I'm getting at? And so that's what these Calvinists and all the rest of the wackadoodles are trying to accomplish with their teaching. And don't fall for it, folks. If somebody gives you a book and says, our church is standing on this doctrine, I wish you'd read it. Don't read it. Don't read it. You tell them you've already got a book. Thank you. It's all I can do to keep up with this one. All right? And I think you'll be 10,000 times better off if you do that. Now, we're living today in the day of grace, and the Lord is coming again. And when he comes, that day of grace is going to end, and it's going to be the time of judgment. All right, that's coming. That's coming. And if you look at this old world and where it is, I think we'll all agree that we're about that far away from judgment. I mean, God's going to have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them if he does not judge America for all this wickedness that is now being taught and done. We're close, folks. We've got to be close. Now, listen carefully. The second coming is the divine solution to all the problems in the world. All right? Let that sink in. The second coming of Christ is the divine solution to all the problems of the world. Since man was given possession of the earth by God himself, and then God vested with authority man to govern its affairs, he has had to contend with innumerable problems too great for his own wisdom and ability. And folks, that's where we are. Men have rebelled against God, thinking that they have the solution to the problems of the world. And they don't. They don't. You say, well, the radicals in Congress are saying, well, socialism is the answer. No, it's not. Socialism has never worked anywhere. Anywhere. Millions, hundreds of millions of people die whenever communism rises up. It always happens. And here's what they say. Well, it just hasn't been tried by people as smart as we are. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. I'm telling you, folks, the world's a mess. It's a mess. And that's why we need somebody to fix it. And that's the Lord Jesus. All right? Trump's not going to fix it. He can't. He can't. Certainly Harris and whatever that other guy's name is, they're not going to fix it. They don't even know what a woman is. They don't know what a woman is. How can they fix anything? All right? And so the only solution is a divine solution. God has to fix it. That's why Jesus is coming back. All right? That's why he's coming back. So despite his failure, he has not ceased. Man has not ceased to indulge the hope that someday he will not only solve the problems, but will also transform the world into a place that will satisfy the deepest need of his innermost being, and do so with peace and contentment prevailing everywhere. All right, so in other words, folks, men have forever been looking for utopia. They've been looking for, Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth. You know, that's what they've been looking for. They've been looking for something to remedy all of the heartache and despair and confusion that has been brought about by sin. And so they're trying to They try to get the answers themselves, and it's never going to work. No, the only way it's going to be fixed is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come back and fix it. That's the only way. The only way. In other words, folks, men have forever been looking for this utopia that does not exist. In the day of grace, it does not exist. They're not going to find it. Now, I want you to think about this. This mindset, this thinking, was the thought process behind Darwin's theory of evolution. That's what it was all about. Get God out. We don't need God. Let's get God out of the equation. Well, now what are you going to do if you get God out of the equation? We're going to fix it. How are you going to fix it? Well, here's my theory. We are evolving, constantly in a state of evolving. No, we are constantly in a state of devolving. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. We're not evoluting, we are devoluting. Okay? We're not getting better as a world or as a society. And folks, I don't know if you realize this or not, but you see where we are as a country? You see where we are? Europe is 10 years ahead of us. You think it's bad here? And it is. But you ought to go over to Europe and see some of that foolishness that's going on over there. And the media here in America is not going to show that to you. Oh, they don't want you to see that. It would shock the daylights out of you. But that's their answer. We are evolving. And so Darwin's theory was and is that eventually man will evolve into a utopia. It'll all just be grand and glorious. You know, one great big pot where it's doled out and everybody is treated equally. All right? So you're a doctor. You should not make any more money than a school teacher. You should not make any more money than a truck driver. Okay? You should not make equity. Equity. They want equity. DEI. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's what they're after. And that's their utopia. Okay? And no more gas cars and, you know, all the rest of that. Yeah, we're going to fix Mother Earth, you know. They bow to their god, Mother Earth. Yeah. Y'all still smiling? Huh? Everybody got a smile on your face? Okay, just making sure. You know, folks, the truth is, everywhere you look, men are growing more and more apprehensive about the future. And the reason is because all this foolishness that they've been espousing for the last 50 to 80 years simply has not worked out the way Darwin and all of his disciples have predicted that it would turn out. The ravages of war, the barbarism of civilized nations, not to mention the uncivilized nations, this incessant drive for socialism around the globe, which always ends in failure and always ends with a lot of people dying. Mark that down. That's how it always ends. And it's all becoming a huge eye-opening reality that these ideas of progressivism is anything but progressive. It is demeaning, it is destructive, but it certainly is not, as they call it, progressive. It's not what the world's looking for. So, our Lord's coming, second coming, will be the divine solution that will finally fix all the problems of the world. Folks, the bottom line is this: Jesus is always the only answer. Amen. All right? Let's look at our salvation. Jesus is the only way. Amen? Amen? That's right. What's the theme of the Bible? One theme: Jesus. It's all about Him. Amen. 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 I agree. Well, I'm trying to select here if I need to say something. I can. I'm out of time. All right, real quickly, let me have you go back to the Old Testament book of Zechariah for just a moment. Zechariah. And I want you to look at chapter 14, please. The last chapter in Zechariah. If you go to Malachi and go back one book, you're in Zechariah, all right? You know Malachi, right? The Italian prophet, yes. Lou Rossi, he's crazy, I'm telling you. Crazy man. All right, look at, please. Let's go down to... Well, look at verse 1. He said, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken." Now, this is... is everything all right? A leak? Yeah. Wow. It's probably coming from the windows, and it runs the course and drops. All right. Did it hit you, Sarah? Okay. All right. I now baptize thee in the name. Huh? Yeah, we don't sprinkle, no. Yeah, sprinkle leadzo. All right, let's see. Go back now. Look at this. This is a battle of Armageddon. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." All right, now jump down, please. He's talking about the second coming. In verse 4, he says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave." It's going to crack open, all right? It's going to gape in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. "And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it toward the south." Now look at verse 9, and I'll close. In verse 9, it says, now watch this, "And the Lord," notice that, Jehovah, amen, "shall be" what? "King, king over all the earth." Do you see that? Over all the earth. Well, he's talking about here the millennium. "And in that day shall there be one Jehovah, one Lord, and His name one. Wow. That is going to fix it right there. That's going to fix it. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Oh my, it's going to be exciting. All right, well, we'll pick it up here next week. Let me mark where I've stopped. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You now for Your wonderful word. I pray You'll bless this to our hearts. We just ask You to help us to understand all this and realize that You have a plan and that You are going to execute that plan to perfection. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to hinder this plan that You have written up for us in the Bible from taking place. Nothing will stop it. And Father, then when You come back, we're going to see the utopia that men have been looking for since the Garden of Eden. And Father, it'll all be because of who You are. So bless Your word. Give us understanding of it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.